But there's another side too. Many of these animals we know from Sanart had intense spiritual power. And the power of the hunter and the power of the shaman may well have come from drawing spiritual power which lurked behind the cave walls. And perhaps the imprint of the human hand on the wall, with black ochre or red ochre or soot blown on the hand, leaving the impression, was the moment at which a shaman or a hunter or an initiate put their hand on the wall and acquired through this imprint in their hand the spiritual power of the animals, of the spiritual world, which lurked behind the cave walls. Because in many societies, cave entrances and the cracks in walls are the places where you enter the spiritual world, where you pass from the living world into the world of the ancestors, of the forces of the spiritual world, where shamans could fly freely. Now, all of this is speculation. It is, I think, informed speculation. But the point is that it seems likely, judging from the odd pictures of dancers and shamans in rock art, where they're wearing animal headdresses and so on, that there were shamans in Cro-Magnon society, that for the first time we have evidence of people who bridged the living and the supernatural worlds. If we do, this is very exciting, because we really get a really remarkable feature of human society, this notion that the spiritual and living worlds are closely interconnected, which is a pervasive theme and background to every human society in later prehistory. And this is the earliest moment at which we actually see it. So here we have an art tradition. Here we have a interflowing of the spiritual and material worlds for the first time. It's unfortunate that we do not know nearly as much about the societies who lived to the east of the Cro-Magnon domain, in Central and Western Europe and into Eurasia. It is only in recent years that we have begun to really begin to understand the late Ice Age societies which flourished far from the comfortable enclaves, and they were relatively comfortable, of northern Spain, southwestern France and Austria, on the rolling plains and steppes of Central and Eastern Europe and far into Eurasia. Make no mistake, this open steppe tundra, with its lack of trees and its scrub vegetation, intersected in places with shallow river valleys, which offered the best shelter, was a brutal environment by any standards. There is no environment on earth like it today. This was where winters could last for 9 months, where sub-zero temperatures would follow day after day for months on end, where the summers maybe lasted a brief 2 months, warm and humid, where dramatic continental climate changes and seasonal changes were commonplace. It was small wonder that the Neanderthals never managed to live year-round in this place. Why? They did not have the needle and tailored clothing, the technology of layered clothing which enabled people to live on the open plains through sub-zero winters, to hunt if necessary, and certainly to go outside to fetch food or whatever from the pits which were dug into the frozen permafrost that were filled with what you might call refrigerated bone. Modern humans were already on these plains in the river valleys of the Ukraine and the Czech Republic as early as about 35,000 years ago, when they were well established there by 25,000 years ago. This was a place where there were no caves. They were living on a rolling plain, the topography of which was formed by fine glacial dust which had blown from the ice sheets far to the north. So they had to create totally different shelter. And what they did was to use locally available raw materials. Often, they had no wood, so what they turned to were the bones of mammoth and other animals.